we're going to go through a number of things this morning. And we start off by, what a weekend. What a weekend. That things can change so rapidly. Friday, we commemorated the death of Jesus Christ. We saw him come over the Mount of Olives from Bethany. Of course, prior to that, he just got Lazarus out of the dead grave. And now we find on last Sunday, it was Palm Sunday. I can almost see Lazarus and his sisters coming with Jesus as Jesus was on the donkey, coming over Mount Olives because they were coming from Bethany and Bethpage, then over the mountain into the Kidron Valley. I can almost see Lazarus right next to the donkey. And as the crowds were singing and chanting, Hosanna to the King, Lazarus must have been right there because he was dead and now he's alive. I mean, physically dead. Now he's alive. I can see him walking right next to the donkey. And as they were looking up to Jesus and shouting Hosanna, he was looking up with such a heart of gratitude. That's my mate. That's my bro. That's my bro. He's my mate. He's the King. And then we find that, of course, last Sunday was the big day of palm leaves and shouting. And then, of course, we have Friday, Thursday night, Last Supper, arrest. We went through that on Friday night, midnight arrest right through the whole day, 3 o'clock. He died. He chose to die at 3 o'clock. And he said, Father, into your hands I commit or entrust my spirit. And he breathed his last breath. Taken down from the cross, buried in a tomb that belonged to somebody else. What do you think the mood of the people were? Help me out. What was the mood? You see, the difference with us and them, we know what happened. It was unfolding in their day. They didn't know what was going to happen. Although he did tell them, they didn't believe it. But what was the mood? Friday, sad is one word. Oh, there could be a heck of a lot of anger. Disappointment. Somber. Broken heart. Grieving. Come on. We've lost loved ones. Many of us in this place have lost loved ones. It's gut-wrenching, man. What was the mood of his mother? You see, there were mixed emotions there. Tremendous amount of mixed emotion. Some were excited. Can you believe it? Some were excited that this self-proclaimed God-man is dead. Because he said, I'm the Messiah. He was a threat to the system. I don't know what went through Pilate's mind. I find no fault in him. Others were struck with disbelief. Jesus' disciples, to put it bluntly, the wind was taken out of their sails. His family, his mother, Mary, the demons were driven out. Many looked to him as, this is really our King. But his mother, what went through her mind? And we saw that on Friday night that he was beaten to a pulp. The Bible says on Friday night as we read it, he was not recognizable as a human. They could count my bones. That's what he looked like. The expression we used on Friday night is an expression I would use again this morning. It was a bloody mess. Couldn't recognize him as a human being. Can you put yourself in the place of the mother? Blood all over. Disfigured. Her beautiful son disfigured. All you could see, you couldn't see the eyes, they were puffed up. You couldn't see the eyebrows because blood was pouring all over him. My son, what has he done to deserve this? What? But in the meantime, she fully knew Barabbas, the murderer and insurrectionist, was let go. Who deserved to die? Barabbas. Not him. But he had to die. His family devastated. And to sum it up quickly, that was Friday. That was Saturday. But Sunday was coming. Oh, he told them it's going to happen. I've got to die, but on the third day. Yeah, sure, you're going to die. Come on, our king's not supposed to die. He warned them that he's got to die. But Sunday came. And let's get a news update quickly. Against all human odds, that which seemed humanly impossible became a reality. He did it. Just as he said he would. He rose from the dead the third day. Just as his Mark 9. For he wanted to spend more time with his disciples and teach them. He said to them, listen, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed. He forewarned them. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of his enemies. He will be killed. But what's the next phrase? What's the next sentence? But, read it with me. But 3 days, he will rise from the dead, just as he said he would. Now, just think about it, guys. There's still somberness. They're coming Sunday morning to see him, embalm him. They're coming Sunday morning just to pay homage. And he's not there, he's risen. Angel says, no, he's not here. Peter, come and look. John, come and look. And I can try and imagine what those disciples were like, running to the grave. The tomb is open. The stone is rolled away. Where's he? Come on, guys. I don't know. Any one of us that's got controlled emotion, I think your emotion will become uncontrollable when you see this man that you had physically seen on Friday in a mess, and he's gone. And he's risen. Just as he said, 3 days later, he will rise from the dead. Now think about it. The chaos within the Roman Empire, the chaos amongst the Pharisees and Sadducees, the Jewish elite. Think about the chaos. Where's he? Oh, we've got to come up with a plan. They stole his body. No, they don't need to steal his body. The tomb is empty. Look at the next slide. You're going to love it. The most unsuccessful lockdown of all time. He's not there. He's risen. He's alive. Just as he said he would. Smart News published an article written by Scott Powell titled, Jesus Resurrection, the Best Documented Event of Ancient History. This is documented in the news. And he quotes, while Christmas, the birth date of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, marks the watershed of splitting calendar history into two epochs, BC and AD, Easter marks the day and commemorates actual events. However miraculous that followed the crucifixion and death of Christ that transformed the world forever. Christ is absolutely unique in being the only person in history who was pre-announced starting 1,000 years before he was born, with over 100 prophetic accounts from 18 different prophets from the Old Testament between the 10th and the 4th century BC, predicting, listen carefully, the specifics of his coming, his life and death. Hundreds of years later, the details of Christ's birth, life, betrayal, and death validated what? Those prophecies in surprisingly accurate and minute detail. 1,000 years BC, David prophetically wrote about the crucifixion of Christ at a time crucifixion was unknown to the public as a means of execution, unknown to the public. Every other consequential person of history came into the world to live. The death of other religious leaders such as Abraham, Moses, Buddha, Muhammad, and Confucius brought an anticlimactic end to their lives and their work. But Christ came into the world as God's Son in order to do what? To die and pay the price for man's sin. His sacrifice was the ultimate climax of his life, done for the benefit of who? All mankind. Opening the way to eternal life in heaven for all who believe. It turns out that Easter, which has its ultimate meaning in the resurrection, is one of ancient history's most carefully scrutinized and best attested events. The resurrection is real and changes everything. Easter is the commemoration and celebration of the single event that transformed the world forever, end quote. Amen. If that is documented, if that is recorded, I suggest we need to follow Jesus. He's the truth, the life, the way. We need to follow Jesus because he paid for our sins. But we knew all along this was going to happen because the Bible is reliable. You can count on the Bible. But it's easy for us to stand here and look back because everything has been laid out. But don't stop there. If all this was laid out from the prophecies of old to the birth and the resurrection of Christ, we must also look forward because everything is laid out pertaining to the future. As things happened in the past, so things are going to happen in the future, as laid out within the scriptures and the prophets. Were the prophets wrong? No, every one of them were right. Every single one of them. To the detail of the birth of Jesus Christ. So if the prophets were correct with the minute detail of the birth of Christ, we've got to then understand the New Testament prophecies as well, some of the old, but then we've got to look at John in the book of Revelation that describes a whole new scene for us. But we also find the fulfillment of it in the Old Testament. In this case, if Jesus came the first time, he's coming a second time. Amen. If he rose from the dead, he's coming to earth again. That goes beyond your mind and my mind. But I appreciate the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. And Paul said that if Jesus never rose from the dead, the preaching of the gospel, which means good news, is futile. What are we doing here if his followers stole the body? What are we doing here if Jesus never rose from the dead? As a matter of fact, most of our lives will not have changed. So are we nuts believing he was raised from the dead? Are we lunatics? Are we far-right extremism? Because we believe in Jesus? Because we believe in Christ? Because we believe in the resurrection? No, sir. It is a proven fact. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, the Amplified Version and the Message translation, two different translations, same verse. And if Christ has not risen, then our preaching is in vain. You're listening to garbage. It amounts to nothing. And your faith and my faith is devoid of truth. Devoid of truth? If there is no resurrection? But if there is a resurrection, there's truth. I'm not devoid of truth. And it's fruitless, without effect, empty, imaginary, and unfounded. All based on if Christ is not risen. But we know he is. Look at the Message translation. And face it, if there's no resurrection for Christ, everything we told you, everything I tell you, everything Paul has told the disciples, the other followers of Christ, the people in general, everything we've told you is smoke and mirrors. And everything you staked your life on is smoke and mirrors. But it's not smoke and mirrors. He's alive. He's risen from the dead. Well, Jesus rose from the dead, and the gospel is not futile. It is the power of God unto salvation. And what I love about that, he said he would, and he did. But folks, for centuries now, there's been an assault on Christianity. Nothing new in our country. Nothing new around the world. Nothing new in Africa. There's an assault on Christianity, and it's going to increase, increase, increase. Because somewhere along the line, the Antichrist will have to be revealed in a society that is Christless. And so we find as people assault Christianity as being irrational, superstitious, and absurd, many fools like you and me have believed in the resurrection. Or are we fools? No, we're not. Because we have found truth, and truth has set us free. So no, we're not fools. We were fools, but now we've found the truth. And we cannot simply ignore the resurrection. And others have tried to explain it away, but historical evidence just can't be discounted. I've referred to this before, and I want to do it again this morning. A student asked Professor Josh McDowell, why can't you refute Christianity? You find also his writings in Evidence That Demands a Verdict by Josh McDowell, and also Further Evidence That Demands a Verdict, thick books that you can really enjoy and study for many, many years. His son is also very well versed in the Word of God. And he says, for a simple reason, this is what he said, I'm not able to explain away an event in history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the most important truth is laid out here. Notice this. Without the resurrection, there is what? There's no Christianity. And what we believe is mere philosophical rhetoric taught by a man, listen carefully, taught by a man, Jesus, who was either crazy, a liar, or both. What do you think? What do you think? Crazy? Was Jesus a crazy man? Was Jesus a liar? Or was he crazy and a liar? No. He's Christ, the Son of the living God, that rose on the third day as he said he would rise on the third day. And that same Christ said that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess through one of his prophets. So what do we find? Josh McDowell says, I can't refute it. Without the resurrection, we have no faith. Ask ourselves, what is the meaning of life? What is the purpose of life? We pursue our dreams. We try to live the American dream. That's all part of the natural experiences of man. But what is the purpose of life? Why was I born into this world? The ultimate purpose in life, in growing up, is getting to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. That's the ultimate purpose. Because you can aspire, you can reach out to your dreams, and you can become very successful in the world. But without Christ, there is no life. Without Christ, there is no future. And we're not speaking of mere religion. We're speaking about this individual that came into this world to take our sins upon himself. What I'm so excited about with the resurrection is when he rose from the dead, the Bible actually states in Colossians that he made an open display of the powers of darkness. Darkness thought they had him. The evil world thought they contained him. The religious people thought they had crucified him. But on the third day he rose. On his way to heaven, he went through the kingdom of darkness, which many folks are not familiar with. But he went through the kingdom of darkness. And I would like to, in my mind, dream a little bit. Or imagine. Doesn't take me much to imagine stuff. He rose from the dead. He had to go to the Father. He had to go to heaven. But in between earth and heaven is the kingdom of darkness. And the king is known as the prince of the air. And as he rose from the dead on that beautiful Sunday morning, he ventured through the domain of darkness. What went through their minds? What happened within that structure? What happened within that kingdom? Here, a person they thought, a being they thought they had got rid of once and for all. And the Bible says he made an open display of the powers of darkness. In other words, you couldn't hold me. And those same principalities one day will find their ultimate destination in the lake of fire. And while they find their ultimate destination in the lake of fire, those who believe in Jesus Christ will find their ultimate destination in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because he conquered evil. And he's coming to set up his new kingdom. Without the resurrection, we don't have anything. There is no faith in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. I passed on to you what was important and what had also been passed on to me, Paul speaking. Christ died. There's the thing. There's the ultimate. There's the plan. Before the foundations of the earth were laid, Christ died for our sins. Just as the scriptures said. Amen. Notice that. Just as the scriptures said. He was buried, and he was what? Raised from the dead on the what? Just as? Can we believe the scriptures? Can we trust the scriptures? Of course we can. So if that's the case, when Jesus says, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden. Come unto me, you that are burdened. Why don't we take him up on that? If he says no one can go to the Father except through me, Jesus, why don't we believe that? Oh, because we are so smart at times that we think we can outsmart him. But no, in reality, we are foolish. Let's just exercise simple faith. If he says it, I'm going to believe it. If he calls me, I'm going to go. Because he said he would be alive on the third day. And it happened according to what he said. And so that pertains to the future. If he says there's going to be terrible times in the future, what must you and I think about it? It's going to be terrible times. If he says there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, what should we do? Believe it? If he says there's going to be famine, if he says every man is going to give an account of his life before me, do we believe it? We should. We should. Because if he said he's going to be alive on the third day, or be raised on the third day, and he did, all other things that he says to us, we better believe it. So are we all going to give an account to him one day? Yeah. Why? Who says? He says. And I'm going to believe it. If Christ wasn't raised, the witnesses of the resurrection gave false testimonies. And there is no basis for their faith. Without the resurrection, most important, we don't have any forgiveness of sins. 1 Corinthians 15, 17, 2 verse 2 translations. Look at this carefully. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is what? It's a delusion. How many of you are delusional this morning? And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is a delusion and you are still lost in your sins. What is the crux here? What is the thought behind? What is the central thought behind this verse? Read it again. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is a delusion. And you are still lost in your sins. If Christ has not been raised. But he was raised. He was raised. So is my faith still a delusion? No, sir. Am I still lost in my sin after accepting Christ? No, sir. And that's why this morning I want to encourage you. Based on the evidence, I don't know where many of your standing is in Jesus Christ, but based on the evidence that he's alive, based on the evidence that he rose on the third day, based on the evidence, you can have faith in him now. And you can call upon him, and he says, call upon me and I will answer you. And now you can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And your faith is not a delusion. You are not lost in your sins. Look at the next translation on this. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. No, sir. The love of God was seen on the cross. Listen carefully. The love of God was seen on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only, that who would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. But forgiveness and grace is seen in the empty tomb. The love of God was seen on the cross. But because he is risen, there's forgiveness and there's grace that is applied to all human beings. He could not have forgiven sins without the resurrection. Without the resurrection, we have no future. What does the future look like? Naturally speaking, from a human viewpoint, what does the future look like? Wars, rumors of wars. Eclipse on the April 8th. Volcanoes erupting all over the show. Earthquakes more so in our country than ever before. Inflation through the roof. Everything's through the roof. But one day I'm also going through the roof. You coming with me? The future just doesn't look too good from the natural viewpoint. But for the child of God, it's getting brighter and brighter and brighter. Because this old world cannot hold me. Any moment I'll be gone. Oh, but I heard your forefathers say the same thing. Yeah, well, they are gone and they're with Jesus now. Without the resurrection, we have no forgiveness of sin. We are still guilty in our sins. We have no future in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 18 and 19. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost if there is no resurrection. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. In other words, if Jesus was not raised from the dead, those who have died before us would still be lost and perishing, because without hope for a future, there is no meaning for today. And that's why that song that Vera played just touched so many people's lives. And that's why you were humming with it. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. What can man do to me? What can man do to you? Oh, they can take my body. But this body is going to be renewed in any case. Take my body. You're doing me a favor. I've tried to lose weight for ages. Take it. I'm getting a new resurrected body. You're just speeding up the process, man. What can man do to you? Nothing. Nothing. And that's why that song resonates. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. All my fear is gone because I found the Prince of Peace that has conquered the powers of darkness. Amen. Without the resurrection, there is just no future. And because of the resurrection, we have life. And I want us to look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20 to 22, New Living Translation. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Now this, my friends, brothers and sisters, is very important to all of us. Especially to those that have decided to follow Jesus. If you have not decided to follow Jesus, I would urge you to do it today. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Notice what it says. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world. How did death come into the world? Adam and Eve. Eve said, honey, you got to taste this thing. Well, they say apple. Honey, you got to taste this apple. And he did. He was obedient to his wife. I'm not saying anything. Remember when they came and told Peter, he's alive, he's alive. Woman, what are you talking about? Why is it that men don't believe the woman? No, because they've learned a lesson. Once bitten, twice shy. Men, listen to the woman. So you see, just as death came into the world through one man, now we get blamed again. Yeah, just pour it on. Look at the contrast. Death came into the world because of disobedience. Adam and Eve. Now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. The first man, we had disobedience. The second man, we have obedience. The earth was plunged into darkness by the first man. Through the second man and the last Adam, there's life and light. Amen. Just as everyone dies, and that's an amazing thing. We don't have to go find out where death originated. Just go to the Bible. Spend less money on books. Read the Bible. Where did death originate? Adam and Eve. And the Bible says, just as everyone dies because we all belong to? Oh, no, some of you have got a different ancestry. One with a long tail. How many of you believe you came from an ape? I'm going to close my eyes now. Because I just don't want to see a baboon. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, the first human being created, not evolved, the first human being created. Everyone then who belongs to Christ will be given what? You believe that? Really? Why do you believe it? Because God said it. Everyone dies. Oh, with technology today, they are planning to let the human being live forever through implants, through chips. Go for it. You think you can outsmart God? Everyone dies because we all belong to Adam. And it's a terrible thing. Gut-wrenching when we lose loved ones. But that's the process of this planet at this point in time. We all belong to Adam. And everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. Because of the resurrection, you and I can have both eternal and abundant life. Let me conclude with one scripture and elaborate. 1 Peter 1 verse 9. Is there a reward in trusting Jesus? Is it a mistake not to trust in Jesus? Oh, it's easy for us now that are followers of God. But there are people maybe here this morning. This could be one of the first times they look at the scripture and hear this kind of message. Now we've got a reason. But if we look at the scripture and we understand that Jesus rose according to the scriptures and as it was told, then I've got to believe in the rest of the scripture. The reward for trusting him, Jesus, that is risen, not somebody that's not risen. The reward for trusting Jesus, who is risen, will be the salvation of your soul. Wait now. Let's play devil's advocate. This says the reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your soul. So then, what is the reward for not trusting him? The damnation of your soul. You want to play chicken? I'll just wait until I die and see what happens. How do you change it around then if you realize it was wrong? So I would encourage you, do not play chicken. Be just a chicken and say, whatever he says, I'm going to believe it. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. So the resurrection tells the world that the kingdom of God is ruled by who? Who's in charge of this world? Well, the Bible says the prince of the air, Satan. But overall, Satan is still under God. And everything is happening according to the timeline that God had laid out. Can we fully understand this? No, we can't. Why must innocent kids die? Why must a two-year-old or a one-year-old get cancer? Why must somebody die so prematurely? Well, it's all because of sin of Adam and Eve. But we recognize through the scriptures there's a process that this planet is going through. And we're in this process and in this age, which is called the age of the church, where grace is manifested because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the dispensation of grace. And the resurrection tells us the world that the kingdom of God is ruled by, it's ruled by a living supreme being. All the founders of religions, and we won't mention names, just to show you how feeble the human being is and how at times we are so quick to believe some other philosophy and so quick to believe some other people, but why don't we so quickly believe the word of God? All the founders of religions, guess what? Their bodies are in the grave. Every single one of them. I don't care who they are. Their bodies are in the grave. But the founder of the church, his tomb is empty. The founder of the church, I'm not speaking of a denomination now. The founder of the church who said, follow me. That person, his tomb is empty. He's risen from the grave. He's alive. And his church is alive. He is not here. He is risen. It created chaos then. It still creates chaos today. Because his standard is different to the standard of the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness will come to an end, but the kingdom of light continues throughout all eternity. And I don't know about you, but for me, I want to continue to be of the kingdom of light, because the kingdom of darkness has got no future. In other words, don't trust the philosophies. Trust a person, Jesus, because he proved he can be trusted. And on the third day, I will rise again. And today is almost, what, 2,000 years ago. And we're celebrating the resurrection. And countless people's lives have been changed Through self-help books? No. Because of a relationship they forged with Jesus Christ. I'm a changed person. You're a changed person. And some of you can get changed today if you put your trust in the person that was in that tomb but is alive. He is risen. And to God be the glory. Can we pray together? Father, we